Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of HB Critical. It's the podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. My name is Jarrell, and I am joined by Brandon.
Hello, everyone.
And Gabe.
Hello.
And our special guest, Marissa's here. She's back. It's been forever.
Hi. It has been forever.
So, I do sound like I'm in a little bit of a rush because we're starting super late due to technical issues, so I'm sorry, everybody. I am kind of in a little bit of a rush, so I'm going to skip the how's everybody been doing and assume you've all been wonderful, and we're just going to go with that. We're just going to make everybody feel like we're all doing really well, and I love you all, and I miss you all.
It's so good to see you again.
Exactly. I know it's been 2 weeks, so we got a lot of news to cover, but before we go into the random news, let's do some fun news that we can all talk about. The first one being that I'll ask very briefly, how have you guys been?
Rebirth has been cool, work has been busy, life has been good.
Nice and succinct, love it. All right, well,
I'll go next.
Go ahead.
Stardew Valley is what's been going on.
Nice. Gabe.
Overwatch.
Embarrassing.
Is that going to be your whole sentence? Because that'd be great.
Quiet Overwatch.
It's like that meme from fucking Lysander from Pokemon, where it's just like, why are you crying? And he just says,
boom. Honestly, that Overwatch is just enough of an answer. So let's jump right into some news. The former boss of Blizzard has suggested that a tip feature, that would let players give $10 or $20 extra to the developers. This is from IGN.com, written by Wesley Yin Poole. The former boss of Blizzard has suggested, as I mentioned, a $10 to $20 extra to the developers of special games. The former Blizzard president tweeted that he's often felt that upon completion of a particularly enjoyable single-player game, he'd like to give more money to the developers because it was worth more than my initial $70 and they didn't try to nickel and dime me every second. That was his quote. He mentioned that it sparked such a feeling, including Guerrilla's Horizon Zero Dawn, Sony Santa Monica's God of War, Rockstar's Red Dead Redemption 2, Larian's Baldur's Gate 3, and From Software's Elden Ring. Quote, I know $70 is already a lot, but it's an option at the end of the game I wish I had at times. Some games are that special. So let's just hop right into this. How are you guys feeling about the prospect of being able to give a developer an additional $10 to $20? And this notion in general of giving developers tips.
On paper and with great naivete, it sounds like a good idea. However, there's so many things that would, I think, get in the way of that. Namely, that I just simply do not trust a lot of these game companies to give the recipients their proper due. Like, let's say you really enjoyed this single-player experience and you didn't feel like you got nickel and dime. You paid $70. But you wanted to just give a little extra to the developer. Like, let's say you, like, really admired the art team, for example, because you thought they did a fantastic job with this particular single-player game. You want to give $20 to the art team. And it'd be great if they could, like, get that. But, you know, of course, there's a lot of artists. So how do you split that evenly? And second, would they even get the money? Like, I just don't trust the game developer studios to make sure that whoever is supposed to be getting that money will actually be receiving it. That's something I would need to be convinced in, and I just don't know if they can. I think it would make more sense for an indie developer, if I'm being perfectly real, because those are small teams. I have a lot more faith that if they were to get a tip, that they would actually get their money. And, you know, most indie games aren't too expensive. And if you really felt like this one indie game is like gave you more value than these $60, $70 games, and you just wanted to give more for that, you know, I could see that being something that'd be pretty cool. But for bigger games, especially since so many big games are also like trying, we have another story, I think. I don't know if we actually do have the story about Star Wars Outlaws.
We do.
I don't know if we do or not. But we do. Okay, cool. So we'll touch more on this later then. So many single player games are also trying to charge you more for this single player experience. So would I really want to give them a more when you're already basically asking me to just to get content? I just don't think
Well, specifically, he does mention that these are games that are not asking you for extra stuff. That's why he mentioned a lot of titles like you know, God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn that you think are just really special that are not asking for that extra money specifically.
Yeah, and that's mostly fair. Like if they're not asking for more and you just want to give it, that's cool. But like again, everything I said previously is just like I just simply don't trust the developers to give the people that actually that the intended tip recipient I don't think would receive said tip is my issue. I just don't trust it.
All right, my opinion, this is bad. Pay them enough so that they don't need to hold on to tips. We shouldn't have to tip game developers. Done. Who's next?
I agree with that point wholeheartedly. Even though I see what Brandon's saying about like indie teams, you know, sure, there are a lot of indie games that I've played that like, oh my God, I got $60 worth out of this game and I only spent 20 on it. That's fantastic. But, one, I don't trust whoever's at the top of any given AAA game company to hand out that money to the entirety of the team. I can totally see that as being a, oh, we had record profits, but everybody's short-staffed and miserable and burnt out and crunch time and all that kind of crap. That's a hard no for me, fam.
It feels like an excuse to not... Yeah, I don't agree with it.
If you don't think your developers are getting...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I feel like if you think your developers aren't getting enough that they should have an option to be tipped, you should probably take some pay cuts and pay your developers the proper amount, but, you know.
Exactly.
God forbid the people at the top actually do something worthwhile.
It feels like one of those, like... It feels like an excuse to undercut developers later on. Like, if this were to go forward where you could tip developers, first of all, specifically, how the fuck? Because, like, am I tipping a specific developer? Am I tipping the development team? Is my $10 going to be split between, like, 60, 70, 80 employees? Like, none of the... And then if you are tipping to a specific, like, developer, like... Well, I'm giving all my tip to the UI department on Persona 5. Fuck everybody else who actually had to build the game because I just like the UI. You know, like it doesn't make any sense to me.
That's exactly the point I was making before. Like maybe like the one specific part, then you could like do that. But again, I don't trust the logistics. Just don't add up. Like beyond the concerning things that would happen. Like you guys brought up great points about like. You know, if they do implement tipping into video games, then of course that's going to give them excuse to pay these workers a lower wage, and they probably already don't make great wages already, and that would give them excuse to get even less. That's not great. And then again, logistics are just not there. I just don't think
it works. And I mean, look at how tips work for restaurant workers. You know, they get paid way below minimum wage because it's just assumed that you're going to get tips. So if you implement a tip system for these developers, does that mean that your entire team suddenly gets paid nickels for what they're doing and you're just hoping that fans are going to give them tips? And then once again, that's going to a company that can decide to implement that money wherever the fuck they want. So you don't even think it's not even like tipping your server, you know, where you're having an interaction with one person, you're tipping a company that can decide whatever they do with that money.
And even then, when you tip your server, like sometimes they split tips at the end of the night anyway. So like, even if I want to give it to the specific person, you know, okay, well, I'm going to move on.
Sorry.
Are you okay? You good?
Before we're all like, burn the system down.
No, it's because that was one of the reasons I quit this restaurant I worked at for a singular night is because I found out at the end, like, obviously I was a busboy, but they're like, at the end of the day, we pull our tips together and we spread them equally. I'm like, no, you can go.
Yeah.
Bad word yourself.
Yeah. Especially if you know, one person works really hard for it. So let's move on to something else that's going to upset people. Honestly. Ubisoft has already come under fire for single-player game Star Wars Outlaws having a season pass. But fans are expressing frustration once again upon noticing its highly anticipated Jabba the Hutt mission is locked behind that same paywall season pass.
Bro, they literally show that. That's so scum. I'll let you continue, but I'm like, that's so scummy because they literally show that Jabba trailer. I'm sorry, the Jabba portion in the latest story trailer and said, nah, you got to pay for that one. Like, wow. Continue, please.
It is an, it's obviously the season pass is an optional extra to the $70 standard game. So far, only available through its $110 gold edition and even more expensive $130 ultimate edition. Cool. It does reveal that it is includes access to the Jabba's Gambit mission at launch. Quote, play the exclusive Jabba's Gambit mission at launch, the season pass explainer reads. Just as Kay is putting together a crew for the Canto Bight heist, she receives a job from Jabba the Hutt himself. Turns out that ND5 owes Jabba a debt from years ago and has come to collect. So, this kind of does... It says at launch, so, you know, maybe it will come for free down the line. But we've gone over video games locking things such as New Game Plus behind a paywall, specifically Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, and we've talked about Persona 3 Reload and their situation with the Aegis DLC not included in the season pass. At least this one is included in the season pass. However, do you guys think this means that things are gonna get worse? How do you feel about Ubisoft specifically, which has, you know, notoriously been really bad about money? Do you think this is predictable for them? How are you feeling about this story?
You know, I'd really like to tip them. For my experience. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
What would you say, Gabe?
Is Ubisoft trying to get themselves bought out? Like, they're making so many bad decisions and they just keep progressively getting worse. It's like, are they like, hey, Xbox, it looks like you're buying everyone else. Why don't you go ahead and buy us? Because, like, they're just not
making good decisions. Daddy, I've been naughty. Can you come buy me out, please?
Well, this is not the way to do it. Like... Well, I guess it is. I guess you know that they're going to make a lot of money because people need to buy this portion of the game.
It's a dumpster fire. Come put me out.
So, I guess I'll weigh in on this real quick. I guess it is somewhat predictable for Ubisoft. It just, their upper business management, it just seems to be a combination of greed and incompetence with this particular situation, because it's obvious that people are not going to like this. So there's where the incompetence part comes in, but also where the greed comes in. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, I'm trying to like organize my thoughts in a way that actually makes sense. But it's like, on the one hand, I get it. Like, this is something that like we've seen in like industry-wide, not just Ubisoft, that companies are struggling to produce like these $70 games. And that's their excuse, to be perfectly clear. It's not necessarily a reason. It's like, oh, games are getting so expensive to produce. We have to do stuff like this in order to maybe break even. And I don't necessarily agree that that's always the case for certain games. This in particular is a Star Wars game. You are guaranteed to get good numbers on the for sales for this game just by brand recognition alone, even if you just charge the $70 base price for the said game. This is not that they need the money because we don't think it's going to sell. It's going to sell. It's Star Wars. We can sell more and people will buy it. Especially with that thing I just mentioned a few minutes ago about them. Let's show this Jabba the Hutt mission as part of that story trailer. People get real excited for it and then tell them, ooh, but you're going to have to pay a little extra to get that mission. It's like literally the freaking commercial with the guy just like with the fishing rod. Like, oh, you got to be quicker than that. Just like, and then they just dangle the buzzwords that really get Star Wars fans. Like, not only you're seeing Jabba the Hutt, which is, of course, a very recognized Star Wars character, but then they said, oh, you get to do the Jabba the Hutt's Canto Bight mission for hardcore Star Wars fans. That's the planet that they went to in The Last Jedi. So now you've dangled two things in front of like hardcore Star Wars fans. They're like, oh, Ubisoft, you got me. So they're doing it because they can get away with it. It's really that simple. And it sucks.
I think my biggest problem with it is that I don't know why it has to be like an additional $30. Why do I have to pay $100 for this in total, or $130? And I don't know what the collector's edition comes with, but like $100 for a Star Wars game is really asking for a lot. It's not cheap. That's all I have to say. It's a lot of money.
I think that it's going to be worse before it gets better. I think until there is some sort of actual punishment, or until they see something that really does impact their sales, like a boycott or something like that, you know, that kind of like what Brandon was saying is that they can get away with it because they know Star Wars fans are going to buy it. They know that people are going to, you know, slap down that extra money because of the nostalgia factor of wanting to, you know, participate in this very special locked mission, which again, hopefully would become free later on, but I highly doubt it. And then how shitty is that even for the people who paid more in order to access it? Sure, you got it early, but you didn't know that you could just wait because they're not being clear about what that means by saying it's at launch. Does that mean it's free later? Does that just mean, hey, it's not something that's coming later down the pipeline, it's available immediately? You know, so I really do think that until something happens or until fans really just have some sort of backlash that really knocks Ubisoft flat, you know, that they're going to continue to try and do this stuff. Other big companies, other big developers who are doing this kind of thing, you know, are going to keep doing it for as long as they can get away with it.
So I have a quote here from Reset Era Zeffy, who said, and that's why you don't defend these shitty early access editions with arguments like it's not taking anything away from other players. It's just to play a few days earlier. It's a jerk move to lock stuff that's otherwise going to be there day one behind an extra paywall. I get missions and stuff being added after release, free or paid, depending on the scope of what you have. But I think it's a jerk move to lock stuff that's otherwise going to be there day one behind an extra paywall. And it just reminds me of our conversation about Engage that Gabe and I had, specifically knowing that that DLC was coming day one, that you had to pay upfront from. So it's kind of like different examples of the same things happening within the industry. So one more thing to discuss, and then we're just gonna just run through some news. This one is Nintendo. They have confirmed that they will not be attending Gamescom this year. Quote, after careful consideration from all perspectives, we've made the decision not to be present at Gamescom 2024. This Nintendo UK spokesperson has said. So, I don't even think that needs any more context. They just won't be at Gamescom, something that I think we talked about, assuming that they were going to be there. I remember in a previous podcast, I did assume that they would be showing off their new console at Gamescom or something like that. I do believe I said something around that, but no, they're not gonna be there. So how you guys feeling?
I mean, if they don't got nothing to show, then, you know, they don't need to be there. It's really that simple, honestly. You think that I guess it's Nintendo. They'll announce shit at their own pace, I guess. Gamescom is not a place that they would necessarily do that, even though Gamescom is getting a lot bigger. This might be something they want to consider in the future. But it's Nintendo. They always do things at their own pace. Like, if they're not ready to talk about the new console, then they have no reason to go to Gamescom. There's just nothing for them there. And I guess they'll do that whenever they're ready. And I will say, though, their games selection for the rest of the year is looking pretty sparse, but that's, again, nothing new. They keep a lot of cards close to the chest, and then come June, we find out, look, last year, like, oh, man, what's Nintendo doing in the second half of 2023? Oh, shit, Super Mario Bros. 1 is coming out in 3 months. Stuff like that, you know. But we are getting close to the end of the Switch life cycle, so who knows? But, yeah.
Says
in so many words, it's just like, if they don't have... I don't know, bro. Nintendo's weird. They got nothing there, so they're not coming. It's really simple. I'm making this longer than it needs to be.
Let my Switch live for as long as it can, okay? I don't have money for a Switch 2. Like,
or
in this economy.
Or for a Star Wars Jabba the Hutt DLC, because that's literally almost half the price of the Switch.
It's not even on my radar.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, I love Star Wars. No, absolutely the fuck not. I'm not buying it. That's stupid. Like,
How much is the Switch?
But no, I mean, just kind of like getting back on the topic with Gamescom and everything like that, I guess because of like E3 dying and Nintendo's dropped out of conferences and stuff like that before, I don't think, or at least announced that they're not going to go, not necessarily drop out. So it's like, I guess it's kind of like, eh, you know, but I like our jokes that we were having behind the scenes of like, you meanies, you totally like leaked our Switch 2, so we're not showing up. Fuck you.
I generally think that's what it is. I was like, you guys cannot be trusted to keep things confidential. We're not, even if we have nothing to show this year, we're not going to go because you guys can't keep your mouth shut.
Rip.
Which I think is fair.
That's fair.
That's actually hilarious.
We could poke fun at Nintendo all we want for calling people meanies or whatever. But listen, they're the one company that shit almost never leaks from. So you know, maybe almost. I ain't saying okay. I ain't saying never.
I was like, I don't know about that.
Dude, I knew everything about Animal Crossing and like the last three Pokemon games. Like, I mean, before we were even in the launch month.
Okay, Gabe, let's not go there. Let's not do this. Don't do it.
Come on, let me just have a good time. Okay, I like my little digital animals. Thank you.
Don't do this.
Pokemon, I'll give you that one, but Animal Crossing wasn't much to find out about.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to some strictly news things. I'm going to run through a bunch of news stories, give you guys some time at the end to discuss them, if there's anything that you want to add to them. And since we're on the topic of Nintendo and Pokemon, let's start with this one. Police in Japan have arrested a 36-year-old man after a police cyber patrol discovered evidence that the individual had used special tools to illegally modify save data for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet and sold it online. This practice, which was banned under the country's 2019 Unfair Competition Prevention Act, has gotten this 36-year-old, who allegedly took custom orders for rare Pokemon and sold the resulting tempered data between December 2022 to March 2023, literally last month, for up to 1,300 yen or $84 at a time. And then he would also sell six Pokemon for roughly $30 in yen. So you could get a very special specific Pokemon for $84 or a team of six for $30. He was making absolute bank. and doing it just by, you know, beating the system, hacking the game. However, the suspect could face up to 5 years of imprisonment and or a fine of up to 5 million yen, which is over $32,600. That's the first story. Next up, we have the Sonic the Hedgehog announcement. Well, the official main cast for Sonic 3 includes Ben Schwartz as Sonic. Keanu Reeves was announced as Shadow. And, of course, Idris Elba and Khalid O'Shaughnessy are returning as Knuckles and Tails. So the big announcement there was that Keanu Reeves has joined the Sonic 3 movie as Shadow. And then you guys can tell me what the other thing was after this, because I don't know what that was.
I think the other one was basically the Sonic the Hedgehog. I'll just read real quick. Is like that basically they're celebrating the Year of Shadow, which came with like a trailer showing off some real life stuff, like Shadow's motorcycle will be appearing in some places. You know, reaffirming that hey, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 coming out this year. Sonic Cross Shadow Generation coming out later this year. And some other merch might come out. But we'll talk more about that in a second. I was just getting the new story out there.
So Xbox is moving full speed ahead on their next-gen console. Microsoft is moving full speed ahead on its next-generation console. An internal email from Xbox President Sarah Bond has revealed. The email obtained by Windows Central and verified to be genuine by Microsoft also announced the formation of a games preservation team at Xbox. Quote, "We are moving full speed ahead on our next generation hardware, focused on delivering the biggest technological leap ever in a generation." Bond said, reiterating comments made in February when the console's existence was officially announced. No further information was shared regarding the hardware itself, nor when fans might be able to buy it, but documents leaked in 2023 suggested that Microsoft plans to release the next Xbox in 2028. Regardless, with Microsoft seemingly making its development a priority, it will likely be available sooner rather than later. Alongside it, looking to the future, Xbox also appears committed to the past and present. Quote, "We have formed a new team dedicated to game preservation, important to all of us at Xbox and the industry itself," Bond said in the email. "We are building on our strong history of delivering backwards compatibility to our players, and we remain committed to bringing forward the amazing library of Xbox games for future generations and players to enjoy." That is from IGN, written by Ryan Dinsdale. Next up, excuse me, I we talked about game preservation. Ah, this lovely one. So Rebecca Valentine wrote a very interesting piece on Life is Strange Before the Storm, titled How Hidden Nazi Symbols Were the Tip of a Toxic Iceberg at Life is Strange Developer Deck 9. And it was a really long interview. The tagline is Inside the Developer of Life is Strange's Internal Struggles with Toxicity, Hate Speech, Crunch, and More. It is a very insightful piece that I think everyone should read if you haven't already. It goes into talking about how a game that is just so lauded for being LGBT friendly and inclusive actually had things like hidden Nazi symbols and racist memes inside of it, and also the culture of working at Deck 9 and what people had to endure going through that. However, we have chosen not to speak on it on the podcast, so I'm going to be moving on to the next story. Which is that Palworld has lost 97% of its player base just 4 months after release. What do you guys think went wrong? It doesn't matter. We will not talk about it. But we will talk about how Twitch support has decided that they are making a change to their suspension evasion policy, which is meant to help provide clarity around what is allowed when viewing content created by a suspended streamer. Moving forward, their community guidelines will allow you to discuss or react to VODs or live streams from streamers that have been removed from Twitch for one reason or another. Also, long live the Empire! Tales of the Empire, 6 all-new Star Wars original shorts are going to be available on May 4th, only on Disney+. And the Roblox boss had something interesting to say. Quote, we aren't exploiting child labor, we're giving kids in the slums a job. The popular online game has been criticized in the past for exploiting child labor and its young audience. Roblox is one of the biggest games in the world, letting people who are mostly under 16 years old create and play their own custom creations and share them with others. Roblox has also been at the center of controversy, as some believe the game exploits child labor and doesn't do enough to protect them. When recently asked about this, Roblox studio head Stefano Carrazza suggested that actually the game is a gift for 15-year-olds in Indonesia living in a slum. Oh my god. This reminds me of, I don't know if anyone has seen that The View clip of God, what's her name? Whatever, I can't remember, and I'm taking too long, so it's gone. Stellar Blade director Kim Hwan Tai says they are preparing additional costumes and New Game Plus as free updates for after the game release. No microtransactions, except for if they do costume collaborations with another company's IP, and they would like to make it very clear at this point that Stellar Blade will not require any additional expenses that gamers are not aware of beyond what they paid for the package. The only exception is if we create collaboration costumes with another company's IP, those may be sold for a fee. Also, there is no New Game Plus in the launch version, so please look forward to it being updated very soon. And finally, 60% of playtime in 2023 went to 6-year-old or older games. There was a lovely new data piece that went out by Kotaku, and they mentioned some of the most played games of 2023. And on this list, it has games ranked in the top 10 average, are over 7 years old on average, and generally fall into one of four categories. And those games for PC are Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft, Counter-Strike 2, and Go, The Sims 4, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and Warzone, League of Legends, Valorant, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Rocket League. For PlayStation, those games in 2023 are Fortnite, Grand Theft Auto 5, Call of Duty, EA Sports FC 24, Roblox, Rocket League, Minecraft, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, Apex Legends, and Fall Guys. Xbox, Fortnite, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto 5, Minecraft. You can see the pattern here. Roblox, Rainbow Siege 6, Rocket League, Starfield, Apex Legends, FIFA 23, and for Switch, Fortnite, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Super Mario Bros. Wonder, Mario Kart 8, Minecraft, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Fall Guys, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Hogwarts Legacy, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And you can kind of see that all of these games are either games as a service games that are continually being updated, or games that people are going back to. However, it doesn't necessarily account for the amount of money that has been made by some of these newer titles, and what that means for live service games. But that's it for us. So we've got 10 minutes left. You guys, if there's any story that you'd like to speak on or comment on, now is your time. Gabe, you're up first.
I have a question. How do they gather the data for that, for what we just talked about? I mean, like, because obviously I know how they do it for online games. That makes sense. You know, you're running the servers, you're seeing how many people come in and out. But, like, for single-player games, is there a way that they can, well, that we know of, that they keep track of? Because, like...
I don't, and I that's kind of why I feel like that's very misleading, because you have, like... It does not account for games like Baldur's Gate 3, which are massive, right? But they're not like these online titles that people are, you know, constantly going back to, because these are single player stories. Like, sure, Baldur's Gate is one that you can play more than once. But how many times are people going to play the same single player game before moving on to something else? Whereas if you've got something like Fortnite, Fortnite is updated constantly. Like right now there's Fortnite Avatar, and it's basically like not even Fortnite anymore. There's Fortnite Lego. It's not even Fortnite anymore. and then you have Call of Duty, which people are going to consistently play no matter what, because that's just their game. A lot of these games like Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty are just, you know, League of Legends, they're always going to be there because they're always going to be updated. They're live service games that people are always going to, you know, if Overwatch were doing better, it would 100% be on this list. Because it's that type of game. Or like something like
this. Yeah, I think the other thing too is some of those titles, they haven't had a sequel or a continuation in that number of years. So if Sims 5 were to drop tomorrow, you know, so many people would probably jump ship into Sims 5 and not play Sims 4. So,
and there would probably still be a lot of people playing Sims 4.
Yeah, because not everyone's going to be able to afford it day one, or they don't want to buy it day one. They want to see how it goes. They want to wait for reviews, or whoever their favorite content creator is that, you know, is going to show off the game first, or, you know. So it's because even like with GTA 5, you know, like everybody's waiting for GTA 6, of course, you know, it's finally been announced. But in the meantime, people are going to keep playing GTA 5, you know, they don't have an option to switch to a newer game right now.
It's called getting a life.
Well, we've got about 6 minutes left. Are there any more topics that we went over that anybody does want to expand on?
I do. Yeah, okay. Oh, go, Mercy. You go first. No, Mercy, you go first, please.
Okay. Keanu Reeves as Shadow the Hedgehog.
Let's go!
It is such a good day to be a Shadow fan. I'm so excited.
Straight up. All hail Shadow.
Dude, I, like, at first when I read it, I was like, Keanu Reeves, that's going to be... And I was like, no, I can see it. This is going to be fantastic. So, after slight hesitation, I'm all for it. I can't wait for the next trailer when we actually hear his voice. Like, that's going to be amazing.
I think he'll be a good fit for it because. Oh, what you gonna say, Drew?
I was just gonna say I just saw a tweet that showed Keanu Reeves and Idris Elba's characters in Cyberpunk side by side, and it was like they're taking over Sonic, and it was great.
Oh man, yeah. Oh, that's gonna be great. No, all I was gonna say is I think Keanu Reeves would be a good fit for Shadow because obviously he can do the dark brooding voice, but he can also give him nuance, which this is something that Marissa and I have talked about with the current Shadow voice actor. He's voiced by Kirk Thorne. Great voice actor, by the way. He does a lot of great roles. But I think the direction that he's been given for Shadow lately is just like he's too brooding and there's just not much else besides that. Like, and that's a problem with modern Shadow in general. It's just like they only really capture one side of him. Like, you know, quite frankly, the Shadow's best years was like the first 5 or so years of his life where he was, you know, getting a lot of plot development. And since then, it's just like, ooh, Edgelord. Ooh, Sonic. Just as like the Sonic cartoon, what the hell is it called? Whatever, the one that's on Netflix. Sonic Prime, that's what it's called. Did a really good with Shadow. But anyway, I'm not gonna go on to all that. All I'm gonna say is that like I think he'll do a good job as Shadow, and this is apparently based on the Sonic Adventure 2 plot, which is like peak Shadow, so you know, I think we're in for a good time for all y'all Shadow fans out here like me and Marissa.
I just want to say, and this is a different topic, I just want to say that giving that man, 36-year-old dude, that much jail time seems so ridiculous for just selling some Pokemon. Yeah. Like, he was hacking the game, sure, but...
The one thing I wanted to say, too, is that, like, that makes me a little bit scared for, like, the Nuzlocke community. That makes me a little bit scared, because, I mean... Pokemon Company technically, like, for Etsy shops, for anyone who's creating Pokemon goods and selling them, I mean, they could literally just come in and be like, hey, we own that. And, you know, like, either we have to see profits from it or, you know, now we own this. You know, like, it's a little scary, especially because, like, I mean, okay, Gabe, don't yell at me. Animal Crossing Treasure Islands, right? Like, they're still going strong and everything like that. You can sub to them on Twitch and just show up and grab whatever fucking item you want. You don't have to, you know, go through the grind of getting these items. Same thing with Pokemon. There's so many channels that are giving away shiny Pokemon, hacked Pokemon, whatever level Pokemon you want. Do you need the legendaries? Do you want the shiny legendaries that are locked? You know, so I mean, like, this could easily expand into so much. So I think it's kind of a scary precedent to get into, because how far is Pokemon Company gonna go with it, you know?
Well, I can think this say
has to do more with Japanese,
yeah, world. I was just gonna say it
Pokemon, yeah, Japanese. True,
it definitely is, because first of all, what I think happened is that somebody snitched on him, because I'm sure he was living his life having a good time and he couldn't make somebody's Pokemon, or somebody was mad and they snitched on him, because there is no way they would have found this guy otherwise. But it is specifically because of the Unfair Competition Prevention Act that this is happening to him. And so I think it's less like giving away Pokemon and more like he's giving away Pokemon that people might be trying to use in competition, which explicitly goes against the Unfair Competition Prevention Act, which is not a thing in the US. So I think we don't have to worry about it too much. I think it is centered to Japan. But also, I'm so sorry, sir, because I know somebody snitched on you, because you were making a living, having a good time, and somebody was mad. Exactly. Somebody got mad, like 100%. They were like, he's going to make a Pokemon that's going to cheat.
It's like those VHS, like, piracy is a real crime and there are real victims to it. I'm like, for who? Because everybody's going to go out and still buy the Pokemon games, okay? Like, I don't see how...
Piracy, no, but if you are going to competition with, you know, hacked Pokemon, that is kind of unfair. But, like, jail time is ridiculous.
I'm not saying that. It's just, like... Yeah,
like, you imagine, like, I'm just breeding.
Hey, man, Pokemon. What are you in for? I hacked Pokemon.
Exactly, that's ridiculous. The other thing I wanted to quickly say is that I think it's so interesting that Xbox is taking such a huge stance on game preservation, but like they don't have games that people. Never mind. I'm actually not gonna finish that. That's not nice.
Everybody knows you were going the hater route.
Preservation is good. That's what I'll say. Game preservation is good. That's all I'll say. I just wish, like, other companies thought that.
Okay, well, I'll say the quiet part out loud. Like, so Xbox is saying that, oh, we're going to do the most, like, technical leap that's ever happened between console generations. Okay, but what games?
Yeah, and the sad part is they've been saying that for, like, two generations. Like, for the last two generations, what games?
I think that's the thing, is, like, don't get me wrong, I could totally see that on the horizon, Xbox is going to have some extraordinary titles, right? But at current, what do you have that's drawing people to Xbox besides your hardware, which is fantastic, don't get me wrong, right?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's true, because we did the whole discussion about, like, the difference between the X and the S, or whatever, the discless one. I take it back. No, what the fuck, Xbox?
Redfall, Starfield, not being able to play Baldur's Gate 3. Like, they have a very bad track record as far as games have gone. Like, they put out some good ones, like, you know, Hi-Fi Rush, but that's coming everywhere else now because they know it's bad. Go ahead, Gabe. We got 1 minute.
Like, I think, like, unless they're doing something, because they said 2028, unless they're doing something where, like, that gives us something like the Switch, where it's, like, this powerful console that's, you know, portable and not heavy like the Steam Deck, oh, well, knowing them, they're going to rely on cloud gaming, so never mind.
Yeah.
We don't know what the technology is going to be, like, in 8 years, so we just got to wait and see at this point.
Do you know what else we'll have to wait and see? All the topics we're talking about next week, because this is the end of the podcast, people. It's been a great time.
Beautiful transition.
Next podcast, I'm talking about Tales of the Empire. We're out of time now, but I got to talk about it.
Okie dokie, Tales of the Empire. Put it in the chat so we won't forget it. And with that, thank you, Brandon.
Doing it right now.
Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Marissa, for guesting on with us. Hopefully, you'll be back again soon. It was wonderful talking to you guys. And next time, we will have a little bit of a longer podcast. We're trying to get to an hour. Unfortunately, we started a little bit late for some technical issues. But hopefully, we'll be able to give you a full hour episode next week. And good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night. Bye. Bye.